is.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mask.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
I just want to see what the fuss is about.
The Sports Hub.
So I'll probably hate it.
Harry, if there was an opportunity to have you reunited with LeBron James, is that something you'd be open to or against?
Like I said, in this business, I've kind of experienced it all, and I've seen a lot, so, we'll see where management decides.
Well, that was Kyrie Irving yesterday on whether he would be willing to play with LeBron James. So let's start with this. Let's start with NBA rumor mongering. Maz, how you doing?
Good, you?
Just fine. Thank you so much. If you want to join us, 617-779-0985. We'll go through some of the Kyrie sound from yesterday and some of the latest rumors. But just in general, you have any developing opinions on any of this stuff, Maz?
I told you, the more this goes on with Kyrie Irving, the more alarmed I get. Because I feel like there are ample opportunities here for Kyrie to say, look, I'm really happy in Boston. I love the coaching, love my teammates. We had a good year. I'm eager to try to work something out with the Celtics. And that's my priority right now. Like, it'd be so easy for him to say that without committing to anything. And he's not doing that.
Can I give you the clearest example of it?
Sure.
And there's been like a million of them, right? Because he's on the press junket and he's all over the place. And so he's done a million interviews and he's been asked a variety of this question in a million different ways. And it's all generally the same answer. And just let me give you another great example of it, Jimmy, if you could, if you're ready to fire some sound for me. If you could do Kyrie number 3 from Steeble Pett in the Herald.
Have you had any discussions about your future beyond this coming year? You get a greater sense of self-determination after this year, but have you talked about that at all?
No.
What's your hope? What's your desire?
My hope is that maybe we could limit it to maybe one question a day about what I'm doing this year. That's my hope.
Okay, so he sort of answered with a wise-ass answer, and then he goes into a non-answer. But I think it's important to play the question there because... Have you had any thoughts about your future? You have more determination after this year because you're a free agent. He says no. Well, what's your hope? What's your desire? So easy for him right there to say, I'm going to have to opt out because that's what's best contractually, but I want to be a Celtic. Or a million different ways to say, I love it here. I can't see myself being anywhere else. I want to be a Celtic. Like, there's it right there on a platter.
I don't get it. The more alarmed I get.
He can't and he won't answer the question. So, well, the options are this. One, that he's just being honest, and he doesn't know if he's here, and he wants to test the market. Maybe he wants to go to New York or wherever. He wants to do the free agent thing, and so he's not going to commit to you because he's not committed to you. So that's just one, like, maybe it's just the truth. He's not committed to you.
In which case, I come back to what I said the other day, which is, lie to me. Lie to me personally. Tell me a lie. Tell me you want to be here just so I can feel good about it. And then whatever happens, happens. But like I would hope the Celtics are having more intimate conversations with him and that beyond just press conferences. But I, as a fan, I want to hear a lie.
So, okay. So either he's serious. He's simply not committed to you. Or he's committed to you. He's going to be here. As Jimmy Stewart has been saying, there's a contract sitting there in the top drawer somewhere, and you just have to get to that moment where he can opt out and opt back in, and it's all fait accompli, but he's not committing to you for a variety of reasons. He's tweaking you because he feels he's being tweaked on LeBron, and this is another thing that stood out yesterday. He don't want to play with LeBron.
No, that's clear.
Right? But, so, you know, he's playing a game that... Well, if you're going to flirt with LeBron, I'm going to flirt with being a free agent. Just because. Maybe that's the reason. Or he's an NBA attention-seeking diva, and he wants the free agent tour like Kevin Durant got the free agent tour. He wants to rent his house in the Hamptons and have everyone come at his beck and call, and then he'll come back to you. But he just wants the attention and the adulation because that's the way it works in the NBA. That could be a possibility.
Sure it could. Yeah, sure it could. And again, I suppose there's always the chance that he could try to you know, leverage some extra things, get his posse on flights or whatever. I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm kind of throwing it out there. And I sort of, part of the reason I'm worried is because he learned from the best when it comes to this, which is LeBron. And I think LeBron is a colossal, egomaniacal dink when it comes to stuff like this, which is what worries me. Kyrie looks at it and says, oh, so that's what LeBron did to Cleveland. When I'm out of here, that's what I'm going to do. He doesn't know any other way.
Right, exactly. This is how I'm an NBA superstar. This is how NBA superstars roll.
Exactly.
So I'm going to roll this way.
Exactly right.
But
I worry about that.
He fully intends, well, you worry about it. I think there's another way to look at that, and that is he's coming back, but again, he just wants his ego massage. So he wants the ego treatment of an NBA superstar free agent. And so he's just going to play it this way because he wants that attention. That's what you should hope. That's what you should hope. That he's just playing a game. He intends to come back. The team intends him. It's all signed, all but signed, sealed, and delivered that he's back. But he's just playing a game because either he's tweaking you over LeBron because he feels he's being tweaked, or he just wants to go through the motions of it because he wants the attention. Fine. Those other things are fine. But if it's just on the face of it, he's not committed to you? Well, you got to assess that. Like, we don't know. Danny's got to know that, doesn't he? Because if he's not committed to you, then that changes the way you treat your offseason. Just one more, and again, so that's, you know, this was his latest media avail, and we have the cuts, so it's just what we're reacting to. That's number one, you know, his continued non-committalness to you. The other thing that stood out is just reading between the lines, he does not want to play with LeBron.
Wants nothing to do with him.
So he was asked generically, number seven, Jimmy, what's important for you going forward? Right, you're not going to commit, you're not going to say where you want to be, but then generally speaking, what's important to you?
Kyrie, what's important to you going forward? This year and beyond next year, personally and professionally?
I would say just the consistency, authenticity, and honesty, from everything that we're doing as a team and organization, and doing something bigger than myself. That's what we all compete for.
Okay, something bigger than myself and all that, blah, blah, blah.
See, now that answer I like.
The first part is what I focus on. Consistency, authenticity, and honesty. Like, I feel like those are shots at LeBron. Or his Cleveland experience.
Right, or Gilbert.
Right, exactly. Gilbert, LeBron, whatever happened to him in Cleveland, I feel like authenticity, honesty, I feel like he's talking directly about his situation and what he's had to experience in the past and how he doesn't want to go through that again.
But again, you know, and I say it's his only frame of reference. It's got to be an indictment on Cleveland in some capacity. What other frame of reference does he have? He's had 1 year with the Celtics. Other than that, he spent his whole career in Cleveland, a good chunk of it with LeBron, and all of it with Gilbert. So he looks at it, and part of the reason he wanted out of there is because he didn't think that experience had those things. So now the other element is, you know, if the Celtics are yanking him around, maybe there's a hidden message to the Celtics there, too.
So exactly. So this ties into both, you know, consistency, authenticity, and honesty. You know, consistency. LeBron's on these one-on-one deals, and he can opt out at any time and hold us over the barrel? That's no. I want to know the group going forward. And then authenticity and honesty is, you know, keep me in the loop. I want to be a part, blah, blah, blah. So, like, that could speak directly to the Cleveland situation, what he wants going forward. Is he feeling he's not getting it in here? That all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he's got to hear about, oh, you're meeting with LeBron? Why don't you tell me about that? So, again, I don't know. Danny better. Just replay the first cut again. Jimmy, flat out, would you play with LeBron? Number eight.
Kyrie, if there was an opportunity to have you reunited with LeBron James, is that something you'd be open to or against?
I mean, like I said, in this business, I've kind of experienced it all, and I've seen a lot, so, you know, we'll see what management decides.
Okay. Do you read that at all?
Oh, totally. Listen, that was, I don't want anything to do with the guy. If he wanted to play with him, he'd come right out and say, oh, of course I'd play with LeBron again. Who wouldn't want to have LeBron as a teammate? He's the best player in the world. He's a great guy. He's got three titles. He helped me win the one I have. Like, he could say something totally humble there and be deferential to LeBron. Completely. He wants nothing to do with that guy.
What do you think, Murray?
Oh, it's such a wishy-washy answer. I mean, that's the equivalent of someone asking, you know, you in the radio business, oh, do you want to work with fill in the blank? Well, it's a small business, and you never know. I mean, these jobs don't last forever, and who knows? Things can happen. Rather than saying something nice about that person, that's exactly what Kyrie Irving just said.
No, you mean
there.
Rather than saying something like, no, I want to work with Matt.
All right, so there's item number one, NBA rumor mongering number one. Phone's open for you at 617-779-0985. Then there's this. Adrian Wojnarowski writing a story about Kawhi Leonard and his future in San Antonio and whether he's going to be available or he's going to get the Supermax from the Spurs. And
the Supermax.
Can he patch things up with Popovich and all the powers that be there in San Antonio? In the middle of that, he drops this. He says the Celtics made an offer for Leonard to San Antonio before the February deadline, but the Spurs turned it down and never made a counterproposal, league sources said. San Antonio was not willing to discuss deals for Kawhi Leonard in February. So far this spring, the Spurs remain resistant to trades. He says if the reconciliation talks don't go well with Leonard, San Antonio, and Popovich and all of that, the Spurs have time to reconsider that stance. For example, Boston has the most appealing assets, starry young players, and Sacramento's number one protected 2019 first-round pick. Only 4 months since the trade deadline, the C's find themselves in a different organizational space. Ainge can stay the course with forwards Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown on rookie contracts, sparing Boston the financial pressure of re-signing two maximum contract players with injury histories, meaning Kyrie Irving and Leonard in 2019. So he adds Kawhi Leonard to that thought right there. What do you think the Celtics offered at the trade deadline? First of all, do we believe it?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Yes.
Okay. Jimmy believes it. What do we believe the offer would have been?
My guess is that it involved a package of picks primarily, and maybe Jaylen Brown, you could convince me, but honestly, I doubt it. I think that what they offered was lowball, and I'll tell you why. Because at the time, there was a lot of speculation about the relationship between Leonard and the Spurs. Ainge loves to win trades.
Right, tried to swindle.
Yeah. 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 So, again, I say low ball. Now, it's hard for me to gauge exactly what Leonard would command on the market in terms of with 1 year left on his contract. But I'd be surprised if Brown or Tatum was in the deal.
What do you think, Jimmy?
I think it was Rozier. I think it was Marcus Morris. And non-Sacramento Kings pick. And then whatever money for players you guys can do on your own time.
I mean, I think Jimmy's on the right trail.
Rozier, Marcus Morris, and the non-Sacramento pick?
Not enough. Nowhere near enough.
Not even close.
But it's what I would expect Ainge to offer. It is. It's what I would expect.
And why San Antonio doesn't even bother countering.
Exactly. Because they look at him, come on, get real.
This is pocket lint.
Yes. Like, what are you doing? Are you serious? You're going to offer us that? But my guess is they went in with something low in hopes that they could steal him. And because if you're serious, then Brown's probably on the table.
Should they be serious about him now?
Only if they can sign him. I mean, I hate to give you that answer all the time.
No, so fine. Let's say they can sign him.
Sure.
Would you trade Jaylen Brown for him right now?
I would.
I wouldn't.
I would trade Jaylen Brown for him. I would not trade Jason Tatum.
So do you think that needs to happen? Again, Jimmy would go back to all the trades last year, the Jimmy Butler trade, the Paul George trade at the time, which we thought was more on the lines of pocket lint, really underplaying what Oladipo is as a player. But, again, the prices seemed low on those players last year. Do we assume they're going to be just as low as, we would perceive it?
Yeah, I think the best deal that San Antonio will get offered is Markel Fultz in a package to the 76ers. But I don't think Markel Fultz is going to be anything. So if you're telling me that it's Rozier, Morris, and a non-Sacramento pick, that might be your best offer. But if Sacramento thinks that San Antonio thinks that they can get something out of Markel Fultz, they'll trade Leonard to Philadelphia.
Okay, so I wonder if you're still in the orbit there for Kawhi Leonard.
I mean, I wouldn't rule it out. Rozier's value has gone up. Who'd you rather have, Rozier or Markel Fultz?
I'd rather have Fultz.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I'd rather have Rozier.
Ceiling. It's a much lower floor. Like, Fultz might never play in the league. I mean, I fully acknowledge that. But if he reaches his potential, he's got more ceiling.
Probably.
Yep. Yeah, he's a number two pick versus a guy in the middle of the first round.
Yeah, I think he's going to suck, though. I'd rather have Rozier.
The deal that makes a lot of sense financially is Kawhi Leonard for Kyrie Irving.
And you can just do that. You can just do that thing.
And don't be surprised if we find out that the Celtics are discussing a Kyrie Irving deal.
So where's this coming from? Wait a minute.
I love the way Jimmy drops these.
Well, now you just dropped that in my lap.
No, he is. He's like Deontay Wilder, who tells you that he was anointed by God. Don't forget that Kyrie. They could trade Kyrie for Leonard.
So hold on, we're burying the lead. You've been one of these guys and telling me the contract's been sitting there in someone's desk drawer just waiting to sign.
Maybe the last 24 hours or so has changed some thinking.
What? Oh, well, why did you tell me? Why we could have led with that?
because this is more fun. It gives something to tease for the next segment.
Next segment, we explore what Jimmy's hearing. What is Jimmy hearing with Kyrie Irving? So is the noncommittalness based in something? Well, let's discuss. Don't go anywhere.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You talked about Houston and LeBron, outside shot. What about Boston?
I just think for Boston to do that, would Danny Ainge be willing? Let's say LeBron said, I want to come. Would he be willing a year in to ship out Kyrie and probably have to ship out Gordon Hayward? When Gordon Hayward committed to them, really committed to them and came in free agency. I'm not saying Ainge wouldn't do it, but I don't, like, they would have to tear their roster apart to do that, unless there's a sign and trade with Cleveland and they can do, and that's always a possibility.
Right.
Listen, I think any great organization will be in a conversation with him. He has to kick the tires on the great organizations, the great teams. If he wants to chase Jordan, if he wants to win titles, of course you'd want to go. You'd want to look at Boston. They have the structure of Danny Ainge as GM and Brad Stevens as coach and a winning infrastructure of players. You would have to do a lot to that roster to make it work. But if LeBron James knocks on your door and says he wants to come, I'm not sure there's anyone who says no, but it would be a dramatic, thing, because largely because Kyrie's there, and we know those two aren't going to play together.
I just don't know about Kyrie right now. I got to think about his health, because you know how Danny Ainge is with that health. You saw what happened with Isaiah Thomas, and he obviously pulled the right trigger in that regard.
So Stephen A. and Adrian Wojnarowski. Woj says LeBron not a possibility here, or a strong possibility, because that means Ainge would have to turn around and deal Kyrie or Hayward. And Hayward. Let me ask you this. Do you think Danny Ainge would have a problem trading Kyrie Irving?
No.
No. No, none. Zero.
No, Danny Ainge would have a problem trading anybody.
Would he have a problem trading Gordon Hayward?
Yes. Well, because of Stevens.
Because
of Stevens.
Yes, and he also chose you as a free agent, so you had to... You had to sell him on his long-term future here, and he's the man here, and you know all of that. And then 12 months later, turn around and trade him? I know Danny's cold, and he'll do anything. I don't think he would do that, and he wouldn't do that to his coach.
See, to me, the Stevens thing is the obstacle.
Gordon Hayward's a much tougher one. Kyrie, I think he'd move on from a second, especially with Kyrie carrying on now like he's some mercenary.
But to other potential free agents, it would set such a bad precedent if they moved on from Gordon Hayward.
Exactly. I think Gordon Hayward's here. I don't think they would. I don't think Danny Ainge would trade Gordon Hayward for that reason. That wouldn't do it to his coach, wouldn't send that message to future free agents. Kyrie didn't choose here. He was traded for. You were traded once, you can be traded again, and now you're carrying on. You won't say one word about the future here in Boston. So what am I supposed to do? Especially now with the way Kyrie's carrying on? All right, is it realistic to think that the Celtics would trade Kyrie Irving? Jimmy Stewart, what do you know? What do you believe?
I think it's being talked about quietly. Nothing substantial, but I think
not anymore.
I think his name's come up a few times.
Quietly.
Yeah, quietly, except for the person that called the radio producer at 98.5 and Sports Hub.
Yeah. It's worth mentioning that information was volunteered to me. I did not ask for it.
Well, just so everybody knows, Jimmy Stewart did have the Kyrie trade coming here. He walked into our studio here during a commercial break, and like an idiot, I blew him off. But he had it. I think they're exchanging medicals on Kyrie Irving tonight. And for some reason, I just let that go, and we never discussed it. But Jimmy knew that. So anyway,
You had Bedard prattle on about some unknown guard.
Exactly.
That was a Connor McDermott.
Talking about Connor McDermott for 2 hours. Well, Jimmy Stewart comes in here and gives us the Kyrie Irving trade to Boston. Not making that mistake again. So that's what Jimmy believes now, that Irving's name is really coming up.
Adam Butler.
Okay, so there's got to be... Shut up, Bedard. I don't want to hear about Connor McDermott. Why is Kyrie so noncommittal? Is he just playing a game, or is he noncommittal because he's noncommittal?
Well, I would hope the Celtics should have the right answer, but this feels like a game of chicken now, doesn't it? Like, again, if Jimmy's right that they are at least privately having discussion about it, like the whole thing is, are you staying? Well, I don't know. What are you doing? Well, I don't know. What are you doing? Like, it feels like this back and forth thing now between the Celtics and Kyrie. Like, are you getting LeBron? Well, we don't know. Are you staying? You know, what about Kawhi? Well, I don't know. What, do you want to stay? Like, you know, it's you tell me. And so, which I think in that league is what it becomes at this time of year. Like, the, because the player, the singular great player in that league, the guys like Kyrie, whether you're Kyrie or LeBron, you have so much power in that league.
Your thoughts, folks. Elliot in Boston, lead us off. Hi, Elliot.
You know, with the Boston Celtics, it's no surprise that players don't want to verbally or publicly commit to Boston, because it feels like every time they do, Danny Ainge just turns around and ships them out and uses that vulnerability against them. I mean, Kyrie Irving has watched players with similar injury histories like Blake Griffin, Russell Westbrook, and John Wall get these big, big deals. So Kyrie Irving is telling them, like they said in Goodfellas, F you, pay me. And that's what he wants to do with Boston, get paid. And then if he gets traded from there on, then it is what it is. But Danny Ainge has no problem shipping people out like he did to Isaiah, who was playing through a broken hip and a tragedy in his family, and turn around like he said in that documentary, hey, Isaiah, how you doing? Hey, guess what? We traded you.
So
Kyrie Irving is looking out for himself, going to get his contract, just like he told us. And it's from us, great. But I would think that Danny Ainge and Kyrie Irving have discussed this, given that they traded the Nets pick in order to get him.
So, Elliot, it's just a good take. This is how Danny Ainge handles it.
Well, I was just going to say, this is Danny Ainge's bravado working against him. Right? I mean, that's what you get.
Well,
now.
I mean, but the caller's saying Kyrie's just handling it how Danny Ainge is handling it. It's all business. It's what's best for me, and we'll see what happens. So, I mean, have the Celtics come out and said, we want Kyrie long-term and carried on and carried on and carried on like that?
Not that I remember.
You know, I mean, maybe,
I just assumed it.
Maybe there has been, but I don't know. I mean, can we find examples of Danny Ainge or Wick Grosbeck saying, we want Kyrie Irving here to retire a Celtic, we want his number up in the rafters, blah, blah, blah. Have they given us any of that?
Not that I remember. Not that bluntly.
So, you know.
No, and again, look, the Isaiah thing's an important point, because
where Kyrie says, I saw what you did to Isaiah.
Exactly. So maybe this is the backlash of that from Ainge's standpoint. Is Isaiah was pissed, and we all say, ah, fine, big deal, it's business, you know, live with it, pal. But then a guy like Kyrie comes along and says, well, let me see how you handle this now. I mean, you know, you had that guy for a couple of years, you guys built him up, and then you traded his ass out the door.
It's a good call there. Here's Anthony Newton. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, guys. So I believe that Kyrie, he's going to stay with us, and we're not going to trade him, because the reason that he doesn't want to commit for long term right now, because he wants to wait until he gets to the free agency to get his max contract.
Okay, so Anthony, I have to let you go because your phone's not good enough. I'm not asking him to sign now, because that is stupid. He makes $80 million more if he waits to opt out into free agency and then signs back. We all got that.
I mean, it's a huge difference. It really
huge.
Is.
Oh, yeah, huge. So he's automatically going to opt out, and if he's going to back, he's going to sign back in. I mean, that's like, that's what Durant's doing right now in Golden State, right? Or last year? Or what, isn't he doing the exact same thing?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
I mean, Durant's a free agent right now, right?
Yeah.
He opted out of a player year.
Yeah, and he came out and said, why is this the idea of him leaving? He said, why is this even a question?
Exactly. So while you're technically opting out and becoming a free agent, Kevin Durant has made no qualms and no ifs, ands, or buts about where he's going. Kyrie, not so much.
Right. Now, in the case of Durant, again, he chose Golden State as a free agent. Kyrie did not choose Boston. They traded for him. But nonetheless, if he was comfortable here, if he was as confident in the environment as it certainly appeared to be during the season, you know, because it all looked like it meshed. You know, they were hooping it up on the bench. Everybody seemed to get along. The coach, the star player, the GM, the teammates, everybody's doing great. Then why isn't he more willing to express that publicly? Like, it is, I told you, the deeper we get into it, the more worried I get. If you're the Celtics, you got to cover your ass on this.
Let's continue with this right after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hi, it's Felger here on 98.5, Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub, FM dial in Boston, simulcast across New England and the country, on NBC Sports Boston, that's a simulcast, catch us anytime on the app, 98.5, the Sports Hub app, it's a good one, download that in your app store, stream pops right up. Give you a few quick Red Sox items here. Here's your Red Sox minute before we get back to your calls. What do you got, Miz?
Okay, so just indulge me here for 1 second. They won last night 6-4. Baltimore Orioles, blah, blah, blah. Baltimore blows. Boy, that team's horrible. Beyond that, Eduardo Rodriguez now 8-1 with a 3.64 ERA. Man, it's pretty good. Like, all things considered, that is pretty good. And the Red Sox are 12-1 in his 13 starts this year. They have won every game but one, which is a game against Oakland. So you sit there and you say, wow, what a year this kid's having, right? What a year. Except that after the game last night, Alex Cora, here's what he said about Eduardo Rodriguez last night. Jimmy, do we have the cut of Cora on Eduardo Rodriguez from after the game? Because I personally found this interesting, what he said after the game.
There were certain at-bats that we felt that he should have put him away. There was an 0-2 on Trumbo, and, you know, he gets a 3-2. All the 3-2 counts. He did the job. I'm not saying that we're not pleased with the result, but I feel that there's more there. There's certain games that, you know, we need our starters to go deeper, and today was one of them.
I love that. I love that. Because it's so easy to do what I just did. 8-1, 3.64, with 12-1 when he pitches. Boy, it's been a real opportunity. This guy's been a real boost for us. Cora didn't do that. He said, no, they went 12 innings the night before. We needed innings out of this guy tonight. He didn't give them to us. 109 pitches in 5 2/3. 13 starts, Eduardo Rodriguez has made it into the seventh twice. Which you would say, okay, fine, but he's 8-1 and they're 12-1. How do you only get into the seventh? Okay, so I love the fact that Cora's not just pumping him up. Right, they're challenging him to be better, and he can be better, which I loved hearing that. John, do you think John Farrell would have done that in a million years?
No.
No chance. The second item to me is far more interesting. Okay, and I don't expect that a lot of people followed this, and I didn't. I saw it yesterday, and I thought, oh, it's a nothing thing. And then I read up on it a little bit today. The Red Sox yesterday completed a trade with the Seattle Mariners, in which they sent Rowenis Elias to the Mariners for a player to be named. They got a guy named Eric Filia from Seattle.
So the player was named.
They got him yesterday. Yeah, he was formally identified yesterday.
Oh, I see.
Okay, yeah. So again, only yesterday. And then I read this. Filia was the number 14 prospect in the Seattle organization prior to the season, and he is a career 343 hitter with an 888 OPS in three minor league seasons.
But he's the 14th ranked?
Correct. So it's the Pacific Coast League, or right, at least part of it.
Yep.
The numbers out there are a little inflated. I said, oh, it's a Pacific Coast League thing. He also hit .408 in the Arizona Fall League last fall. Here's the catch, and this is Peter Abraham writing. Filia was suspended for 50 games in January after a second positive test for a drug of abuse. Not PEDs. A drug of abuse. It cost him an invitation to spring training. He also missed the 2015 season at UCLA after he was caught plagiarizing part of a philosophy paper and suspended for the 2014-15 year. The UCLA Daily Bruin reported that Filia spent part of that year out of school working as a butler at the Playboy Mansion. So the guy's been... Hold on. So the guy's got a... He's a 343 hitter with an 888 OPS.
And a drug problem.
He's got a drug problem. He plagiarizes. He's a butler at the Playboy Mansion. And the Red Sox just picked him up. Two things. First of all, this guy sounds like a cross between Zoe and Murray. Okay, that's number one. No offense, Murray. Secondly, tell me this doesn't tell you how desperate they are to get minor league players with talent. Because they have nothing down there. They got to take on a guy who was popped. And I thought I read somewhere else that it was his second suspension for a drug of abuse. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was only one. Regardless, he's been popped for 50 games because he's a druggie. He plagiarizes papers and he hangs out at the Playboy Mansion. Boom! Awesome! We got to get this guy to Boston. We got to get this guy to Boston. I want to see him in a Red Sox uniform. But again, to me, what it tells you more than anything, they're desperate for anybody with talent in that minor league system. They need talent down there, and they know it.
Well, you put up numbers like that, and you're only the 14th ranked prospect in the system?
Interesting, right? So not a ton of home runs. I was looking it up. He plays outfield, first base, DH, so it feels like maybe there's no defense there. Even so, whatever. You put up good numbers like that, it feels like somebody should give you a chance. This guy sounds like a knucklehead of the highest order, and I want him in Boston. He is now my personal mission, my personal crusade.
Butler at the Playboy Mansion. I didn't know that position existed.
No, it's great.
I had an intern once that did it. He said it wasn't all it was cracked up to be. A lot of picking up dog crap. There's like a million little dogs all over the place.
Interesting. Well, either way, say hello to your newest Red Sox.
Oh, I love it.
There he is. Absolutely
drug
great.
Of abuse. That's pretty vague.
Okay, so we started with Celtics and the latest on Kyrie Irving and his continued non-committalness, and our producer there, Jimmy Stewart, who knows things about the Celtics, dropped a borderline bomb coming from him that Kyrie's starting to come up in trade talks. He's starting to come up in trade talks. So with Kyrie being so non-committal, we're trying to figure it out. Is he just playing a game? Does he want to go to free agency because he wants the adulation, but he's really earmarked here? Is he doing it to tweak you because you're talking about LeBron? Is he just playing a game but he's really coming back? Or is he really, really non-committal? Is he sounding non-committal because he's actually non-committal? So we're trying to figure it out. And now is he actually coming up in trade talks? Is that actually happening? So is the Kyrie thing actually real? We're getting to wonder that. And then the Kawhi Leonard report from Woj, so you offered something for Kawhi Leonard last February. Is that still on the table? Is that still a target of yours? Are those stories related? We'll get back to that. You want to weigh in on the Red Sox item? By all means, write to you with a giveaway, something for free right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How real are the concerns about not being able to re-sign Kyrie here?
I think they're legitimate. I mean, I was the one that reported it last week that you know, there's no guarantee he comes back. But it could be considered on the other side, too. I mean, Kyrie, you know, these knee issues, everybody's kind of assuming he's going to be ready for training camp and all will be well. Three knee surgeries in 2 years. What happens if he has some injury issues during next season? He's going to want the 5-year full max offer, $200+ million. Not only might it be a Kyrie thing, but from a Boston perspective, do you commit to a guy, even though he's still 26, 27, for 5 years full max?
We are beginning to wonder if the Kyrie Irving non-committalness is for real. Is there a reason there? Is there a reason he's non-committal? Because his future is not... When Mike Gorman said it's not a given either way, that's legit as the day is long. Is that what's really going on? Just on the face of it. So that, your Red Sox item, if you like. We can get to Patriots next hour as well. Whatever you want. Back to your phones. And a giveaway this segment. Give us this, something for free if you stick around. Here's Austin in Uxbridge. Go ahead, Austin.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Good. I just don't understand why we have to trade anybody for Anthony Davis or Kawhi. I think we should just stay packed with the team we got. We got a core of young guys coming up, and we got a core of young guys now. And with Gordon Hayward coming back next year, I really think we should just stay packed for the next couple of years.
Okay, stand pat movement 2.0. You all wanted to stand pat with the last iteration of the Celtics, the Bridges. A lot of you wanted to stand pat with that one. This one, you've got more of a case. I just can't trust you because it feels like you want to stand pat with all your guys. So you're not to be trusted. However, is this one for real? Should you want to stand pat with this group, Maz?
Yes.
Those fans out there that say, why can't you just bring it all back and see what we got? Do they have a case this time?
Yes, they absolutely have a case this time. And so, honestly, I think that at this moment, that is the preferred route. I think the Celtics would probably like to keep it together. The variable, it's not that they don't want to keep the group together. The variable is Kyrie. That's the variable.
As Chris Mannix just said, what if he wants that $40 million a year and he's got bad knees and a year out he's not even committing to you? So how do you handle it?
See, I think they're less worried about the knees and more worried about the non-committal. Like, to me, I don't think it's the knees. I think they are reasonably confident that either they can manage it or that, well, there's a risk with every player with injury. You know, like, I don't know how they quantify that risk with Kyrie versus another player. To me, they have a way of rationalizing that. But if the guy doesn't want to commit here and he doesn't want to sign, you don't have a choice. You don't have a choice.
You've got to protect yourself.
Absolutely. You can't just let a guy like that walk and get nothing. Now, look, they ended up not trading a lot for him, so maybe they can let him walk. You know, it was Isaiah. It was Crowder. It was a pick that was number 8 in the draft. So at the end of the day, 2 years of Kyrie would still be worth that, I think. But it really hurts them in terms of ultimately what they want to do.
Meanwhile, Celtics were in on Kawhi Leonard at last February's trade deadline, and Kawhi Leonard's still out there with the Spurs. You interested in him? Aaron in Vermont, how do you feel about Kawhi Leonard? Aaron. Okay, you got to turn down your radio, turn down your TV, whatever, you can call us back. How do you feel about Kawhi Leonard? I love him. I love the player, and I am willing. Normally, the dog it, shut it down, that guy I want nothing to do with, I think that's a one-off with him. I don't know. I'm hoping it's a one-off with him. The way he competed against LeBron in that finals that they won, and some of the, you know, I just love the way he plays and competes. He's not a super flashy guy, you know, he's not a super dipsy-doo dunkaroo, he's not a high-end offensive player, but I love everything about him, except for him quitting this last year in San Antonio, but I'm willing to just brush that off as things got bad there, and so he just shut it down, but you'll get back to being Kawhi. I love Kawhi Leonard.
I mean, in that league, it's not unprecedented for an unhappy guy to start shutting it down, or shut it down entirely. So, here's what I would tell you. If you ask me, all things being equal, I'd rather have Kyrie. Okay? But I'll take whichever one you think you can sign long term. That's how I would look at it. Whichever one you can keep, because to me, the window's important. This is the same argument I use with LeBron versus Kyrie. I want Kyrie because I think you get a longer window because Kyrie's a lot younger than LeBron. In the case of Kyrie versus Kawhi Leonard, you're talking basically the same age. Not a huge difference there. So to me, whichever one you can keep is who I want.
Paul and Bill Ricka, what do you got for us?
Hi, guys. Just real quick on the baseball. You know, Maz said something last week. I agree with him. The league is just horrible. I'm going to jump to the Celtics in a second, but the Red Sox played Chicago, Detroit, and Baltimore this week, and those teams were like vomit, puke, and throw up, all combined.
Not enough good games, Paul. Not enough good games.
You know something? Just getting back to the Celtics, Kyrie Irving will not play with LeBron James. I mean, that's why he left Cleveland. He was really noncommittal in that statement to the press because he won't do it. Just put yourself in Kyrie Irving's place. In high school, you brought the ball up every time. You ran the team. You ran the offense. You were the go-to guy. You do the same thing in college. Then you get to the Cleveland Cavaliers, and all of a sudden you look over, and 60% of the time, LeBron James is bringing the ball up. And you
this is why Kyrie's not committing to you, because he hears you flirting with LeBron, and he wants nothing to do with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. That could be it.
In which case, yeah, look, I don't rule that out, because if I'm Kyrie and they start pulling that, I would get annoyed. In which case, the Celtics should have been on the phone with him right out of the gate. Right out of the gate. Or him or his agent to say, hey, look, you're hearing a lot of crap out there. We have no interest in LeBron. We want Kyrie.
He was asked flat out yesterday, do you want to play with LeBron? Jimmy just played again, number 8. Read his tone. How does he sound? How does he sound here?
Kyrie, if there was an opportunity to have you reunited with LeBron James, is that something you'd be open to or against?
Like I said, in this business, I've kind of experienced it all, and I've seen a lot, so, you know, we'll see what management does.
Murray?
That first, you know who that exactly sounds like?
The pause.
I don't know. Not really digging it here. No, of course he doesn't want to play with LeBron James. He couldn't get away from him fast enough.
I mean, he you could tell just by the way, first, as Murray said, the way he paused and then the way he danced around it. He wants nothing to do with that guy.
The whole pause is, how am I going to say this?
Yeah.
Because if you want to play with him, it's simple. Yes, he'll give us a great chance to win a championship. I'll play with him any day of the week.
Right.
But when you do that, it's like, okay, how am I going to say this now?
Yeah, see, what he meant to say there is, dude, I've lived that already.
Right.
It's a nightmare. The guy gets power. He's an egomaniac. The owner and the coach end up kissing his ass. Everybody ends up giving him exactly what he wants, and he runs the team into the ground. So I would rather not do that again. Thanks for asking, but no thanks.
There it is translated. We've got, let's just jump Jason here in Nashville. You agree with that? He's running from LeBron still, right, Jason?
Yeah, I totally agree with the last call. He stole my thunder. I believe that he's doing all this because of all the talk about LeBron taking a meeting with the Celtics. I mean, I still think we should just stay pat the way it is. Why would Kyrie even think about going to the Knicks anyway? Like, what is he going to do? They're not going to win anything.
So let me ask you this. Should the Celtics not even take the meeting with LeBron? Don't even talk to him?
No, I want them to stay the course, man. Like, look what they did.
Okay.
Without Kyrie and Hayward. I seriously think adding them, well, they'll be fine.
Okay, got you. But just see, if even flirting with LeBron has pissed off Kyrie and has got him thinking about his future, is it worth flirting with LeBron?
No. No.
Yes.
No. Wait.
Yes.
Well, you say the way you phrased it was that was the root of the problem.
Yeah. If that's the root of the problem, I'm still flirting with him because, Kyrie, you don't run the team. We're allowed to talk to whoever we want to talk to. You do not control us. We control you, and we control our own roster. You don't get to pout or play these games about what we're doing with our roster. So if you want to, you know, pitch a fit because we're talking with the free agent, that's tough. You're going to have to deal with it.
LeBron's not coming here. Like, that's why I say no. I think LeBron's using the Celtics. That's what I think. I think he throws the Celtics into the conversation because the Lakers are out there, and what better way to have the Lakers make sure that you and your posse can get on the team plane and do whatever the hell you want after the flight, before the game, all of that. So, to me, basketball, this makes sense. I just don't think LeBron is solely about the basketball. I think he's about the business.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.